Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Hi, we'll start the show here in just a second, but here's a political fun fact for you. The 2016 Bernie Sanders campaign started at the dinner table of radio legend Bill Press. Bill has been one of the leading progressive voices in the country, so I'm glad he's still out there on the left, stronger than ever. Right now, he's using that progressive voice in the Bill Press podcast. The Bill Press pod is up twice a week, an in-depth interview with a major newsmaker on Tuesday, plus his lively end-of-the-week roundtable with three of Washington's top political reporters, digging deep on the latest craziness from the GOP, the massive voter suppression bills in the states, and the Democrats' fight to keep control of Congress in 2022. So I encourage you to join me in subscribing to the Bill Press pod. It's a must listen for all progressives. To sign up, just go to wherever you get your podcasts, search for the Bill Press pod, click on subscribe, and then tell your friends to do the same. Take it from me, I follow the Bill Press pod, and you should too. And now, let the cartoons begin.
Recorded live in the USA, covering the whole wide world.
Right on!
This is the Bob Seska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
I like how you call homosexuality an abomination.
I don't say homosexuality is an abomination, Mr. President. The Bible does.
Yes, it does. Leviticus
18:22.
Chapter and verse. I wanted to ask you a couple of questions while I had you here. I'm interested in selling my youngest daughter into slavery, as sanctioned in Exodus 21:7. What would a good price for her be? While thinking about that, can I ask another? My chief of staff, Leo McGarry, insists on working on the Sabbath. Exodus 35:2 clearly says he should be put to death. Am I morally obligated to kill him myself, or is it okay to call the police? Well, you may be mistaking this for your monthly meeting of the ignorant tight-ass club. In this building, when the president stands, nobody sits.
Bob Seska.
It appears Seska has been genetically altered.
The Bob Seska Show.
Ah, yes, the West Wing. We all know that clip. We're all familiar with that clip. But it's always great to hear it again. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, April 15, 2021. This is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 86 of the Biden-Harris administration. 571 days until the 22 midterms. Find me on Instagram at the Bob Seska and on Twitter at Bob Seska underscore go. Oh, and here they come. It's the Goth Ninja. It is Jody Hamilton from the From the Bunker podcast, from the-bunker.com, also at patreon.com/from the bunker, all one word. And she's also part of the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network at sexyliberal.com. It is your podcasting super duper station. As Donald Trump calls it, the super duper station. I call it just the super station. That's all you need. Screw the duper. Screw Trump. And it's David Ferguson. We call him T-Rex from the T-Rex Report podcast, patreon.com/the-T-Rex Report. Also, his music project, Astral Summer, at astralsummer.bandcamp.com. Okay, Goth Ninjas, hi. How are you? How's it going?
Hello, Bob.
I've had
I'm in a vicious mood today.
Me too. I've had a fun week, David. Lots of fun. Fun skimming and reloading all of the various pharmacy websites, looking for a vaccination for myself. And it has been nothing but, you know, a couple of days of frustration, capped off by some good news, which I'll get to in just a second.
Bob, at least you got your vaccine
appointment at a place that can accommodate you walking through the door.
Well, thank you. Spoiler warning. I guess I should start playing the music then, because I hadn't meant to tell you. Jody with the spoiler jumping to the chase before.
Like, you got a vaccine appointment, but the door was too small.
No, he's going to a giant pharmacy.
I'm going to the giant pharmacy behind my house. It's so gigantic.
You did announce it on Twitter, Bob.
It is huge. I did. But I assume not everyone who listens to the show follows me on Twitter. But
Of course they do. Why wouldn't they?
Yes, they should. You should. You should follow me on Twitter, or else you're banned from listening to the show. That's the. Yeah, so cutting to the chase, I did end up getting a vaccine thanks to my lovely and talented girlfriend, Kimberly Johnson, who actually went ahead and found it somehow. It wasn't me. I was frantically reloading and entering my zip code and doing the whole, you know, process of trying to get a vaccine by going to the... I think part of the problem is this. We have here in Maryland a sum total of four different chains, four different franchises that have pharmacies as part of them. But the good news is there are so many Safeways and Giants here in the area. In fact, there are at least three Giants that are within walking distance of my house. There's one right behind my house, and there's several others that you can get to just with a brisk walk. So that's how many of them there are. But
just imagining like Paul Bunyan living down the street from you, and the Jolly Green Giants, a block over, you know,
gigantic.
I'm three Giants in walking distance.
Like, that's right. We are so important, us tall people, that we need our own chain of pharmacies and grocery stores so we can fit in the door. It's exactly right. Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox. We all go shopping at the same place. So here's the thing. This was the most moronic process. I referred to it as the incredible dumbness of the vaccine appointment sign-up process. I wrote about it in The Banter at thebanter.substack.com. And while it all ended up positively, where I finally did get my vaccine appointment, the process for the past 10 days or so has been just absolutely ludicrous. It seems to me as if some of these, and it's not all of the pharmacies, but some of the pharmacies are just using this as an opportunity to go data mining. Because, for example, I had this major, major issue with the Safeway sign-up process. And I will say, on the upside, the Walgreens process is actually very, very simple. The Wegmans process is horrible. The Safeway process gets an F, like easily an F for being so effing stupid. That's where the F comes from, because it is effing stupid. And so here's what you do.
I'm amazed, though, that it's been more efficient. Like, I mean, in Georgia, it's been so simple. Like, it's weird to me. Like, how is that happening?
Yeah, well, it may be the population. It may be like, it's the D.C. Metroplex here. So we are extraordinarily jam-packed in. I imagine it's the same way in Southern California for you, Jody.
Well, for here, what we did was, because we, you know, we were allowed as of the first of the month. And so I started, a friend of mine's like, I got an appointment. I'm like, how? She goes, Walgreens. I'm like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
So you have to join Walgreens first off, which I didn't like, but I did it.
Yeah.
And it was literally, I believe it was Tuesday the 30th of March.
Yeah.
It was early in the morning, and I was like, I don't, because we were like, you can make appointments on April 1st. So I think people my age were waiting until April 1st to make appointments.
Yeah.
So I was just trying, and I got myself an appointment. And then Lonnie was exercising outside, so I ran out there. You know, it was like 7:15 in the morning. I said, you need to sign up, you need to get this going, because we have to get it right. Yeah, and so luckily we got the same time slot at the same place. I did not like having to sign up, and then they automatically gave us the second appointment, which was great, but it's 4 weeks versus the 3 weeks, which it should be. So right now what I'm trying to do, Kroger, which is owns Ralph's grocery stores around here, they're doing it in certain grocery stores, and so I keep going to their website. Like, I just need the second shot, and I'd like to get it on the 22nd instead of waiting to the 29th, because then I can see people on Mother's Day. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Mother's Day. We got Memorial Day around the corner,
exactly.
too.
Exactly. Yep. So I every time I go to Ralph's, they're like, wait until you need your second shot, which Walgreens told me I needed to wait until like the 20th to look at. So I'm every day though, I'm like, I'm 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm up. I'm still trying to get an appointment for the 22nd, just in case.
You know, we're
watching Shirley MacLaine in terms of endearment.
I am.
Give my daughter the shot. It's after 10. They said she had to hang on until 10.
You know, whenever I hear the name Ralph's as a grocery store chain, which we don't have out here, we don't have Ralph's on the East Coast, but whenever I hear that, I imagine it's owned by Ralph Wiggum from The Simpsons. And when you go in, you can buy some berries that taste like burning.
That's See, my brain goes Judy Blume when I hear the word Ralph. So
that's the, I go right there. I go to the.
No, it's not even that. Just ask Kimberly what Ralph means when it comes to Judy Blume. She'll know.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, I'll ask her. She's a Judy Blume expert. She's a Judy Blume historian, Kimberly.
Oh, she knows exactly when we talked about it. She, she brought up the book and I went, oh, Ralph. She goes, of course, Ralph. It's like it's a.
Yeah.
It's chicks know this with that. All you have to say is Ralph and you go, oh yeah, totally. I know what you're saying.
But here, just going back to the sign up process before we get too far afield. The Safeway process was absolutely ludicrous where you start out on vaccinefinder.org and they give you a list of all of the available vaccines in your area. And so you click on the Safeway link and it takes you to the Safeway website and you go through the process. First you enter your zip code and the radius of where you want to travel. So I was putting in my zip code and then like 20 miles, I think, was the maximum distance that was available on the site. And so they take you to another page where they do this really super cutesy faux text message process where you're texting with a robot. But before you're able to text with the robot, you have to prove to the Safeway website that you're not a robot. So you think, okay, I'm really urgently trying to get through this process so I can see if there's an appointment that I need to hurry and sign up for the appointment. But in the meantime, Safeway's asking me if I'm
Click
a robot.
All the squares with school buses in them.
Yeah, exactly. Find the squares that do not have a stop sign in them. And like, what?
Have you seen the two British women that are like, are you a robot? No, I'm not a robot. That's exactly what a robot would say.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we always play in the after party the John Mulaney stand-up bit where he talks about, you know, how you have to prove that you're not a robot to another robot. And he plays it almost like a gatekeeper character from a fantasy movie. It's so hilarious. But so you do that, and then it takes you to the fake text message format where you got to go through and you're texting with a robot where they're asking you questions and you respond and it looks like a text message. And so once you get through that, then they give you a calendar that shows the open dates. And sometimes it's just today's date, which is completely unclickable. Or they show you like a free date, say, for example, Saturday has a green square around it. So you click on that and then it says below no dates available at all. I mean, so giving you the calendar is completely pointless because the text right below the calendar says there are no appointments at all available. So you got to start all over again. But occasionally I got past that where I'd click on a date on the little calendar in the text message, you know, fake text message thing. And then it would say, okay, we have this time available, 1 p.m. on this date. And then you have to click on that time and hit submit. And then it takes you to a whole page where, and this is where the data mining comes in, where you have to give every bit of information about yourself. I was expecting it to ask for my colon x-rays, for fuck's sake. And so it's like you give name, address, social security, last four digits of your social security number for some reason, your race, your ethnicity, your date of birth, and the way they have you enter the date of birth.
Speed of a northbound swallow.
Yeah, exactly. It's so contrived and ridiculous. And so you go through this whole process and you're thinking, Jesus, I hope someone doesn't snatch this appointment out from under me while I'm filling out all these forms, because it takes forever to fill in your email. You have to put your email address in like three different times, which just, again, screams out to me, data mining. Like, oh, God, what are they doing here? So once you get through that entire thing, all the way down to adding your digital signature, for fuck's sake, once I got through all of that, and mind you, this process happens several times, I get through that entire data mining process fill in my digital signature, hit submit, and then another fucking calendar comes up and it says there are no more dates available.
Fuck them.
And so why didn't the appointment get locked in when I chose it before I had to go through and spend a half an hour entering all of my personal information? Why wasn't the appointment locked in as soon as I clicked on the time and date? So what happened is every time I went to fill out my personal information, someone else who was doing the same thing finished their personal information before I did and was able to snatch the appointment out from under me. So it's the dumbest goddamn process. And that was Safeway. Giant, not quite as bad. I know that both Wegmans and Sam's Club both made you sign up for an account on the site before you set up your appointment. If there were any appointments available at all, which you don't know until you've already set up your account on the site. So it's a ludicrous part of the process. And of course, I discovered that last year, Donald Trump himself established the policy of farming out the vaccines to the major drugstore franchises, the major pharmacies. And so that could be part of the problem. I mean, look, this is the dumbest goddamn thing, much like voting in this country. It should be as easy, especially given the gravity of the crisis, it should be as easy as pulling up to a McDonald's drive-thru and getting a hamburger. That's how simple it should be. And I guess for some groups in some areas, it's been that simple. But those of us who live in populated areas are having a hell of a time. I can't even imagine, you know, working a real job. I mean, I host a podcast and I write a column for the Daily Banter. I have some time to screw around on the internet trying to set up a COVID appointment. I can't imagine if you don't have the time or you don't have the internet access to be able to do it, you're kind of screwed. You're kind of left to the whatever the default is, whether it's through your doctor or waiting for that to happen. While, yes, there are millions and millions of people getting vaccinated and we are really progressing and it is getting better, the process is just incredible dumbness. That's the only way I can really define it.
Apparently even worse in Europe right now, because I have a friend who is an expat living in Italy, and like she's watching us like go through this and get all pissed off that we're having such a hard time getting appointments, and she's just like, we don't even know when we're going to, you know, it's like, it could be August. It's just like, she's like, yeah, boo-hoo, cry me a river, America.
I think the only country doing better than us is Israel right now.
Oh, really? I wonder why that is.
Well, you have to have a vaccine. You have to have proof of vaccine to go anywhere in the country. So they're making it as easy as possible for people to get vaccinated so that they're almost back to pre-COVID economy at this point.
Wow,
I believe they're like 90% or 98% at least one dose. I mean, we're doing well. In California, we're 40% one dose so far, so we're doing pretty well here.
Don't tell Don Jr. that Israel requires a vaccine passport, because he's going to do a guy's video on Rumble.
Well, he does. I mean, they do that. They were the first country to go, no, we're going to do this, and they're
yes,
doing
of
it
course.
With a Q-code with paper, as well as you can have it digitally. You can have it both ways, so that people that don't have cell phone access or whatever, they can still utilize it to go into stores and restaurants and theaters and get on a plane and travel inside the country. So there was I read an article today that there was some fitness place, you know, like a not Gold's Gym in particular, but a place like that, that basically was telling people, if you're vaccinated, you're not allowed.
Oh, right. That's in New Jersey. Yeah.
And it's like, and they're not even supposed to be open at all anyway, but it's like, really, you're going to prevent vaccinated people from coming in?
Yeah. In fact, I think the New Jersey story that I saw was a gym that was offering discounts to people who weren't vaccinated.
That's just so dumb.
Yeah. I think it was free memberships to people without vaccinations. Which is just...
I don't understand that. That makes...
Yes. And they also provide some Brondo to spread on the crops, too. So there's that. At least there's the Brondo and the burrito coverings.
They need electrolytes.
Yes. The phenomenal idiocracy in this country is beyond description now. But, you know, I wanted to mention, too, with regard to Don Jr. and his Rumble videos, his guys videos, Halsparks on Tuesday did his live streaming show where he goes through all this video and makes fun of it, stops and starts it, and then makes fun of what the people are saying, whether it's Mike Lindell or Don Jr. or whoever. And he did one with Don Jr.'s vaccine passport video rant, which is one of the funniest, literally one of the funniest things I've ever seen in my life. Halsparks pulling apart that video, and also nailing the Don Jr. impression and the hand gestures and all the rest of it. I mean, we all know Hal Sparks is immensely funny and multi-talented. I mean, Hal Sparks, you talk about a guy who could host a variety show. I think Hal Sparks could host a variety show. He can sing, he can dance, he can tell jokes, he can do sketches. He should do it. But this video, I strongly recommend that you, if you have the time, because they're long, they're epic shows. I think they're like hours and hours long because he's got lots of video to go through. But if you have the time, go watch Hal Sparks. Streaming video. Start with Tuesday's show with the Don Jr. vaccine passport video. It is immensely hysterical. Plus, there's a conversation between Diamond and Silk and Mike Lindell that he pulls apart as well. That is, again, absolute genius. But Hal Sparks did a bit on the Stephanie Miller anniversary show last weekend where he did a song called Florida Man. I think, Jody, you saw it.
It was very funny.
Yes, I have a DM into Hal Sparks asking him if I can play it on the show. And as soon as he says yes, I'll play it on the show.
He'll say yes.
I've got it all loaded up. It is so immensely hysterical. And the best thing about it is, it's like a Neil Young style song, acoustic guitar song, where he sings about all the different Florida man stories. And he starts out, and only after the first line or two do you realize that they're all based on actual news stories. All the insane things is a Florida man does this and this and this. And then a headline appears and it's the actual headline.
It puts up the graphic. Yeah.
Yes, it's immense.
Yeah, you haven't done the thing where you Google Florida man and your birthday and see what comes up?
Oh, no, I haven't done that
like
before.
Man slaps partner with iguana.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I got to do
in beer dispute.
Yeah, it just put your birth date without the year, and you get every year what happens on your birthday. Because Florida, I guess they just release all arrest records.
Okay.
Unlike other states where it's like you have to kind of find them, whereas Florida, that's why Florida man stories are so easy to find, is because of the laws there. Basically, once you're busted, you're busted.
I got a really good one. I just entered my birthday, July 12th, and Florida man, and the words Florida man. The headline, Florida man without arms charged after allegedly stabbing tourist with his feet. So that's...
See?
Genius. Genius, wow.
Here's mine. Florida man arrested for DUI after mistaking bank drive-thru for for Taco Bell. Wait, I got another one. January 18th, Florida man destroys nest full of wasps with his bare hands. That's brilliant, dude. Oh, seriously. Oh, my God.
What would we do without Florida man, huh?
The worst superhero
ever. Oh, wait,
ever.
Florida man threatens to kill neighbors with kindness, which was the name of his sword.
Well, thank you, Florida.
Thank you, Florida.
Jesus. Okay, so...
While we're talking about Florida, what's up with Matt Gaetz? Why does he still have a job?
No kidding.
But, I mean, he's crying himself to sleep tonight on his huge pillow. That's what he's doing because
he's...
He's
my pillow.
Huge pillow!
That's right. He's head from So I Married an Axe Murderer. We learned this week that... Joel Greenberg, who, by the way, I've been referring to as Jeff Greenberg because I'm a moron, but Joel Greenberg apparently has turned state's evidence. He's flipped, and so he's, and usually, as we were discussing on Fugelsang's show last night, usually when people flip, they flip upwards. The point is to get people above people like Joel Greenberg, not to get the people below Joel Greenberg. So Matt Gaetz has got to be at the top of that list, especially given all of the leaks that have come out. I mean, you put two and two together and you get Matt Gaetz's giant forehead. He deposited $900 in Joel Greenberg's Venmo account, allegedly, and then Joel Greenberg turned around and gave $900 to three different girls, and the subject lines were tuition, school, and school, which
wasn't
is
one of them though. They gave money for ass. And they had like an emoji of a hotel. I mean, these are new things.
For ass? Did you say they gave money for ass?
Yeah, for ass, for a piece of ass. Because I believe that came out yesterday or something. I know that Stephanie was talking about it this morning. And then there was emojis of like a little hotel.
Oh my God. Money for ass is the name of today's show.
I will double check. 100%. I believe that was like it dropped last night or something.
My God.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know,
Yeah, yeah. So bad news for Matt Gaetz all around. But, you know, he's got the support of Marjorie Taylor Greene, Jim Jordan, and Donald Trump, all of whom went, what are you doing? No, don't mention us. Don't bring us into this. Donald Trump won. I mean, Donald Trump will not touch Matt Gaetz with a 10-foot pole. Donald Trump will not touch Matt Gaetz with Donald Trump Jr.'s dick. Well, moving
on. Yeah, I can't wait to see him on the stand with his giant forehead just like dripping sweat. You know, like,
yeah, an examination.
Drowning the bailiff. And, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the Daily Beast reported that an examination of Greenberg's Venmo transactions showed dozens of suspicious and curiously titled payments. Some were as simple as ass or a lipstick mark. Others were more opaque, such as stuff and other stuff. And ice cream was another one.
Ice cream Jesus was another Christ. Nickname?
Were these or public transactions? Euphemism? That's my thing. Like, I mean, the first thing I did when I got Venmo was to make my transactions private.
Well, yeah. They might have been subpoenaed, so they might have them anyway. But three payments in the review documents in the amounts of $500, $500, $250 were designated for ice cream.
Wait, what's the point of making...
Five others were for salad.
Why on earth would anyone want their financial transactions to be public? I don't understand why
I've never
that
understood
feature.
That about Venmo or cash or any of them. I mean, as soon as I got an account,
is it maybe
there,
for
I
charity or to like if you're doing it for charity to show how much other people have raised?
Yeah, or it
I
could
know,
be
for real. Honestly, I think for Gaetz and Greenberg, it was a dick measuring thing. It was they were it's like, hey, look,
Yeah, yeah.
It's so gross. It's so seedy, and it's like the absolute just. The sanctimony, he goes on TV and just holds forth and is like, look at me. And then it's like,
How long do you give him before he resigns? We'll go with David first. David, how much time do you give him before he steps down from Congress? Do you think he's going to at all, or do you think he's going to stick around?
I think it's going to be the most bizarre spectacle that it could. I mean, he'll probably like ram a Ferrari into a bridge support or something like that one financier did. Like, I mean, I really before he resigns, the arrogance. I just I don't see him having the humility to. So I don't know what will happen. But it's going to be tacky. Guarantee
that's
you.
True.
Whatever it is, it's going to be. It's going to make you want to feel like you need a Silkwood shower. So
yeah. What do you think, Jody? How long does Matt Gaetz have before he's got to go?
I think it depends on what his lawyers find out.
Yeah.
You know, it's really going to depend on Greenberg and what Greenberg actually knows.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that the ethics committee is looking into what happened on the floor.
Yeah.
So other Congress people, other representatives are definitely going to be questioned right now.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at C-SPAN video.
Yeah.
I see Matt Gaetz was showing you something on his phone. Let's have a chat. That's very important information. What did you see? When did you see it?
Yeah.
Did you know, what was going on? Yada, yada. So those other people are going to flip on Gaetz for sure. And nobody likes him.
Yeah.
He's worse than Ted Cruz when it comes to people that are not liked on the Hill. So I don't know. I think he's arrogant enough not to resign unless his daddy says, get out of there.
I'm going to predict that he's going to be out before 4th of July. I'm going to go way out on a limb and say it's going to be 4th of July. And you're both wrong. I just did a whole John McLaughlin thing with you guys. Jody Jojo Shabadoo Ham Sandwich. I don't know. That's terrible.
Who is your favorite Beatle? John?
Wrong!
George! Wrong!
They were all equally fab.
Pete Best! Wrong!
Okay. Well, we still want to talk. There's some news on the shooting of Dante Wright that we want to talk about here in just a second. Also, the economy is soaring, and I want to talk about those numbers here in just a few minutes. Plus, that guy, I don't know if you saw this video. We're going to talk about this coming up in the second half of the show. That guy who was harassing that black kid in that neighborhood. something's happened to him. Yeah. What a shocker. Something's happened to the white guy. He's an active duty
soldier. He's going through some things.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So that's all still to come. But I want to thank all of our brand new subscribers. We surpassed 20 new members on our Patreon page at BobSescaShow.com in just a few days. And now I'm going to be making at least one behind-the-scenes video for all of our patrons. So if you're just joining us, for the months of April and May, whenever we reach the threshold of 20 new subscribers, I'll produce an all-new behind-the-scenes video exclusively for our Patreon members. And all that happens at BobSescaShow.com. Again, you can sign up for $1 per month, $5 per month, $10 per month, or $15 per month. A $5 a month subscription will get you our post-mortem shows recorded after the end credits on our Tuesday and Thursday podcast. For $10 per month, you get the post-mortem shows plus the subscription-only after party with me and Kimberly Johnson. And for $15 per month, you get all of that, plus we take out all the commercials from the free show. That's BobSescaShow.com, or just click the all caps Patreon link beneath the logo at BobSesca.com. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show. Of mountains where I've looked, but still I cannot see.
Okay, it's rigorous proof right here, and a song of the same name. The song is called Rigorous Proof as well. It's from their album Postmodern Apocalypse. Rigorousproof.bandcamp.com to support these guys. Yes, we're rewinding all the way back to April of 2020. About halfway through our rewind month. And that's when we played this song initially. I'd love to play a lot of the songs that we have. In fact, it'd be great if we could play all of the songs that we have more than just once or twice.
All at once. Yeah. Simultaneously.
Have I ever done that on the show where I've played all of my sound effects on the soundboard at the same time? It's a horrible, horrible sound.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, no, not good. But there is a button, for some reason, there is a button on my soundboard that says play all. Oh my God. And it's just a headache. All right. Oh, God damn it. Suck it, Pooty Poot. This is some great news. Joe Biden and the Biden administration have announced all new sanctions against Russia for a variety of reasons. This is all fantastic news. CNN's Marshall Cohen reports, for the first time ever, the U.S. government said Russian agent Konstantin Kalimnik, Kostya, good old Kostya, provided Russian intelligence agencies with the internal Trump campaign polling strategy data he received from Manafort and Gates in 2016. Even Mueller didn't go that far in suggesting that. Treasury is going to target Russian leaders, officials, intelligence services, and their proxies that attempt to interfere in the U.S. electoral process or subvert U.S. democracy, said Janet Yellen. This is the start of a new U.S. campaign against Russian malign behavior. Thank God. Oh, my God. It is the end.
A good episode of Maddow tonight.
Yeah, yeah. It is the end of a horrible, horrible era where Donald Trump was, you know, I mean, you can talk about Helsinki. You can talk about any number of examples where Donald Trump was given Vladimir Putin's sloppy rim jobs behind closed doors and then emerging and making... What, did I just make you nauseous, David? Did I?
I just threw up in my heart a little bit.
You mean the notion of Donald Trump doing a...
Stop! Oh, God damn it.
That is this a famous first? I can't believe I've been censored on my show by David Ferguson. The T-Rex
that
himself.
That particular mental image of little teeny tiny Putin sitting on that giant orange fat face and just...
It is pretty gross. I have no actual verified
part of my
information.
Immortal soul just died.
Yeah, I got a better throw in an allegedly in there. Donald Trump allegedly gave a sloppy rim job to Vladimir Putin in Helsinki. I'm just saying. It's alleged. It's apparently, reportedly. But yeah, so this is all great news. And finally, I think Russia is going to have to pucker up a little bit because, you know, the boss is back. The bosses are back in town. No more rolling over for Russia and letting them do whatever the fuck they want. They are going to face consequences. And the best way for retribution against Vladimir Putin is to hit him economically, because already he's a, first of all, he's an enormously unpopular president. I mean, he's not very popular. And the only way he's staying in office is because he keeps passing legislation to say he can stay in office. I think he gets to stay in office
and
now.
And poisoning his opponents.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, murdering his opponents. That's another way. So this is the way to hit him, because the Russian economy, which is smaller than Italy, and you hit them with economic sanctions. Like Konstantin Kalimnik getting nailed with economic sanctions is wonderful, because not only does that exact some retribution against the guy who was involved in the corrupting of our elections, but also it commits to the record the fact that Konstantin Kalimnik was working with Paul Manafort, and they were giving over all of this polling data and campaign strategy to Kalimnik, who was giving it to Deripaska, allegedly, who was giving it to Vladimir Putin and sharing it all around. So this is one of the avenues of collusion. Yes, collusion in all capital letters. There was collusion, and it was Manafort, Kalimnik, Deripaska, and by the way, Deripaska also doing all kinds of business with Mitch McConnell in Kentucky. Again, verified information, Deripaska swooping in. But, you know, Mitch McConnell doesn't want corporations interfering in politics, unless it's a Russian corporation. Then bring it out, bring it back up the money, load it up, dump it right here. Thank you very much. But there is more news here on the shooting of Dante Wright, which yet another example of this culture of shooting first and asking questions later. And that is, we've seen, you know, countless examples of this. And unfortunately, Dante Wright is gone, you know, can't defend himself. But the former Minnesota police officer who shot and killed Dante Wright during a traffic stop was arrested and charged with second degree manslaughter. Kim Potter resigned from the Brooklyn Center Police Department on Tuesday, and under Minnesota law, a person convicted of second-degree manslaughter can face up to 10 years behind bars and a fine of up to $20,000. So bad news for her, but, you know, what are you going to do? We've also seen countless occasions where the white cop gets away with it, and there's no justice for the black victim. I mean, occasion after occasion, and you know what? Literally, the jury is still out on the Derek Chauvin case.
They're going to be out next week. The defense rested, so closing arguments start next week.
Yeah, and Chauvin took the pled the fifth today, so he's not going to be testifying, for his defense counsel. But as poorly as the defense went yesterday, where the prosecution just steamrolled their witnesses. Mm-hmm. As badly as that all went, as well as the prosecution went for all that time. I mean, just the sole example alone of the police chief's testimony, which was so utterly compelling. Despite all of that, I get the sense that still justice is going to lean in the direction of the white cop, because it always does.
I don't. Not on this one.
I'm really? More hopeful, too. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
I just feel like you. I mean, and the fact that the one expert that the defense brought was someone who was like received his like medical examiner training under the apartheid regime in South Africa. I feel like Derek Chauvin is guilty, and I think that the things I've heard about the disposition of the jury and the ways that they've responded to different witnesses, to me, this feels different.
Yeah.
I hope that I'm right.
I hope you guys are both right. And I hope that I'm terribly, terribly wrong. It's the same principle as when, I was making predictions about Donald Trump. I was hoping I was wrong about all of it. There's no ego here. I hope I'm terribly wrong when it comes to the Derek Chauvin case. And there is justice for George Floyd. And
my concern is the judge not allowing the carbon monoxide testimony to come in today that the prosecution wanted to point out.
Yeah.
That was because the judge seems very pro police to me.
Yeah.
So one thing that Chauvin, if he gets convicted on any of the counts, he had such bad counsel that I see him, once he files an appeal, not having to go to prison and getting a new trial. Because his counsel was, I could have done a better job and just following Law and Order bad stuff that like people that have done the Law and Order closing and opening, the judges always go, that's not how it's done. So he's had such bad counsel.
Yeah.
That he should have pled out. He should have pled to third degree murder and taken his 10 years, because he's not going to get the 40. I guarantee it.
Yeah.
He's not going to get, even if he's convicted of the highest crime, he's not going to get the harshest sentence.
Oh, right.
I guarantee it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you're right about that, too. If it happens, it's going to be a lesser sentence. But I mean, here's
it'll be the lowest he has to serve. It will be the minimum that he has to serve, not the maximum, mainly because he's never been convicted of a violent crime up until now.
Yeah, my opinion is informed by a couple of things. The obviously culture of racism and the trend where most of these cops do end up walking between the raindrops and getting off. But there's also the fact that at least this is when my view of the course of the trial changed, when the judge was such an insane dick to that EMT, the off-duty EMT.
Yeah, God, he was.
And when I saw that happen, that's when I went, uh-oh, this is not going to go the way I was hoping it would go.
And the judge doesn't ultimately make the decision.
No, he doesn't. And the thing is how many women are on that jury? Do we know?
Oh, no, I don't know. I don't know.
Trust me, being a lady person,
yeah.
Seeing him talk to her like that,
jury was out of the room.
Oh, I thought that she was testifying when he yelled at her for not answering a question.
No, it was after, because remember, she's like, are we live? Are we recording? Because he was like, the jury had left the room and he was like, I need to speak with you in, you know, before the court, but not before the jury.
Yeah.
So I don't think
that. Oh, because I mean, if the jury had witnessed that, any woman on that jury would be like, oh, no.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, if it was up to the defense, I don't think there would be any women on the jury.
That's true. You know?
They got to get as many white guys as they can because of the white guy brotherhood. By the way, I just got some breaking news from Kimberly Johnson here via CNBC. The CEO of Pfizer says that a third COVID vaccine dose will be likely required within 12 months. For those of
us, I believe that we're gonna. My view is this is an endemic disease like the flu that we're gonna have to get shots minimum once a year, potentially twice a year for the foreseeable future, and then it'll be once a year like the flu once humans have enough of it in our system that we can fight it naturally.
Yay!
No, this is definitely had it stopped where it should have, like SARS-CoV-1 and MRSA.
Yeah,
they didn't get time to mutate. That's why it stopped cold. Because we've allowed it to mutate, it's the flu. We're just going to have to deal with this. And luckily now the antibody stuff is coming out so that dealing with it's going to be better in the future.
Yeah.
Less people will die. Less people, because of vaccinations, will have to be hospitalized. But this is something we're just going to have to get shots. I'm glad, because I was thinking that today. I'm like, okay, once we get the boosters, do I have to stay on the Pfizer for the rest of my life because I've gotten the Pfizer mRNA?
Yeah.
Or can I switch to Moderna? Or can I switch to J&J or other manufacturers? Am I, because of the mRNA vaccine that I got, is that the only way I'm going to have to go forward in the future? And I'm glad to hear Pfizer's got their next shot ready.
Yeah, and we have to obviously look at the previous administration, look at the previous year of just dragging their feet, liberate Michigan, liberate Virginia, the rest of it, ignoring, shirking the COVID protocols for a year, setting a horrible example, barely doing anything other than Operation Warp Speed. And then beyond that, it was just like, hey, do whatever the fuck you want. You're allowed. Go do pool parties, beach parties, have at it. You're Trump supporters. You deserve it. Say nothing of the rallies themselves. And so we wouldn't be in this situation if we'd all done the right thing a year ago. I don't know that we would be in a scenario where we'd have to get vaccinated once a year.
No.
I think
they would have stopped
it.
They would have vaccinated once and it would have been done.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But now you've got this whole segment of the population, an entire demographic, mostly politically motivated, who are blowing holes in the concept of getting vaccinated in the first place. They're demonizing the concept of having a vaccine passport, which isn't even a real piece of legislation, by the way, Don
That's
Jr.
What I was going to say earlier. I'm not even super clear what a fucking vaccine passport is supposed to be.
Like, well, it's just like you get a card after you're vaccinated. You get a slip.
Yeah.
It's like an index card, right? And it's got your information on there. And instead of carrying that around wherever you go, because it can get frayed, it can get torn, it can get wet, it can get lost, you would have a QR code on an app on your phone that you can show in case you want to show that you've got vaccinated.
Well, and then you can print it out too. I mean, they're because of people that won't be able to do that,
Yeah.
Because like when you travel outside of this country, if you want to go to Australia, you want to go to parts of Africa, you want to go to various different countries, you have to have a vaccine that's a yellow card that's filled out with what you've been inoculated. Yellow fever being the number one.
Right.
Malaria shots. I mean, there's various things that you have to get to go to other countries, or they're not letting you in.
Right, right. And your children have to be vaccinated for them to go to school.
To go to school.
Yeah. I mean, this is all obvious. This is common sense shit. We are in an unprecedented situation where there is a global pandemic, and what we can do to be safe is quite self-explanatory. It's just it's so obvious. And the fact that we're in this situation where we have to constantly corral these fucking fascist idiocrats into doing the right thing is infuriating. It's as if they don't even realize the gravity of the situation, and they don't. They don't, and they never will, because it suits them politically to just be dicks and ignoramuses about it. I hope to some level that there will be some form of retribution slash comeuppance, you know, to hold some of these people accountable for making this thing far worse than it was, and specifically in terms of the death count, in terms of the infection rate, in terms of the fact that we spent a year with the economy being risked, people's lives destroyed because they don't have their paychecks, they don't have their jobs, they can't pay their bills. I mean, the number of eviction notices that I see on doors in our own apartment complex is ludicrous. That those, first of all, the fact that eviction notices are even being handed out while there's still a pandemic and a lot of people can't go to work and can't earn enough money to pay their goddamn rent is unjust to do that. So there are so many different layers to this awful, awful onion. And I hope at some point that we can get a, you know, and I know that Congress is working on a commission to examine what the fuck went wrong. In fact, right now,
I feel like we need a massive class action suit against Fox News. You know, just as citizens, we should be able to like
Donald Trump.
Actually, I'm in New Jersey, and I don't actually have my. I'm not going to touch my computer because I don't want my mic to turn off. If one of you guys wants to look at this, there is a guy who is launching a class action suit against the Trump administration for the mishandling of the COVID.
Right.
Response. Mm. I read it this morning, but yeah. I can't.
Well, that's going to be, so, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because it's uncharted territory. We've never had a situation where there's a commander in chief who's decided, ah, fuck it. I'm not going to do the paint by numbers process for preventing a pandemic. I'm just not going to bother with it. We've never been in that place before. I mean, that's, this is, again, the danger of playing grab ass with the fucking White House.
Yep.
Playing grab ass with your presidential vote. This is what you get. You get an incompetent president who, when faced with a pandemic, says, ah, fuck the CDC, fuck the NIH. We don't need Dr. Fauci, and moving forward as if it's not even happening because you're so concerned about getting reelected. You're so concerned about a repeat of 2008 happening again with an economic calamity or whatever. Donald Trump's thinking, I assure you, Donald Trump was thinking a year ago that I'm not going to let 2008 happen to me. You know, with the financial collapse that ruined the chances of John McCain getting elected, which is how he's thinking, how Trump is thinking about it. So that was part of his motivation. It's infuriating. And now you've got all of these hate crimes against Asian Americans, Pacific Islanders. But fortunately, the Senate is now taking up this COVID-19 Hate Crimes Act, which intends to combat violence against Asian Americans by designating a Justice Department employee to expedite the review of hate crimes reported to police during the pandemic. So the Stop AAPI hate organization documented at least 3,795 attacks from last March to February 2021. At least 60 senators are needed to advance the legislation, which would require bipartisan support. But I mean, you got to look, another thing that you got to drop at Donald Trump's feet for the China virus and constantly demonizing
China,
doing that shit for a year. Telling all his people, his gun-toting supporters, it's all about Chinese people. They're responsible for this. They sent it here. They sent it to us. As if, you know, President Xi put it in an envelope with a recipe for big chocolate cake and sent it to the United States, you know, FedEx or some shit. I said, we opened this
beautiful,
FedEx package.
Beautiful chocolate cake.
Big, beautiful chocolate cake. Oh, God. I can't believe that actually happened. President Xi of China was at Mar-a-Lago eating chocolate cake with Donald Trump. And Donald Trump starts to just blab to him about a top secret mission to bomb something in the Middle East.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can't believe we got through that.
I know. I'm surprised we got through that without a huge international incident.
Yeah.
Besides COVID, which was a huge international incident. I'm just glad we didn't have a nuclear war.
Yeah, me too. Mm. Yeah. And that's what I was kind of thinking. I was kind of thinking that was going to happen at some point. But
same here.
Yeah. What were you going
to
say, David?
You know, we have his own inability to pay attention to anything for more than 5 minutes. He didn't do more damage than he did internationally.
Right, right.
Just because he's so fucking disorganized and incompetent, but like...
Well, the upside is there are now fully competent people back in charge of the executive branch of the United States government. One third of the government is now occupied by competent people, people who belong in positions of authority, people who know how to be leaders, who know how to competently run the government. And as a consequence of that, the economy is soaring. We're going to have those numbers and a bit more as we run through our big Thursday show back after these words.
You can't always get a clean you can feel good about inside and out unless you're using Bubble Genius bath and body products. See, Bubble Genius is a woman-owned small business proudly creating our vegan-friendly products in America and supporting other U.S. businesses by buying our ingredients and supplies from them as often as possible. Plus, you'll be hard-pressed to find packaging as recyclable as ours. Visit BubbleGenius.com and check out our cause-related items too, like our global warming soap and a lot more. We donate our proceeds for those items to worthy causes, like organizations combating climate change and mountaintop removal mining. Good stuff like that. We also send our products to the troops overseas through our Buy a Soldier a Shower campaign. Because the least we can do is keep them smiling and smelling great, right? So visit BubbleGenius.com and feel good and clean. Bubble Genius, doing our part to make the world a better place, one bathtub at a time. That's BubbleGenius.com.
Bob Seska! The Bob Seska Show, Indie Music Rewind, April 2020.
Little I saw many words hide between the lines I've heard. Every day brings one more thing. Losing all that I keep near. Now as I lay down to sleep, I pray to God this will to keep. Wake to find that one more time.
Yeah, welcome back to the show. It's Terry Morris right here, a song called One Big Lie from No Confessions. TerryMorris.bandcamp.com. By the way, I forgot to mention Rigorous Proof's Bandcamp page. That's RigorousProof.bandcamp.com. Lots of Bandcamps today. Again, we're rewinding all the way back to April 2020 with the shows here. And the Indie Music Countdown at the end of the month is going to basically be all the same songs that we heard on the April 2020 Indie Music Countdown. That'll be coming up in a couple of weeks here on the show. After I've had my first vaccination at long last at the gigantic pharmacy. I hope they don't use gigantic syringes, too.
No, it's really, it doesn't, you don't feel it. It's teeny tiny. I mean, I've had flu shots are more painful.
Oh, yeah.
Going in. Tetanus is the worst. But no, I didn't even notice it.
Well, I'm pretty tolerant when it comes to, I have no fear of injections or blood draws or anything like that. So I'm not as scared of the needles. I'm just thinking if I go to this gigantic food store, this gigantic pharmacy behind our place, then me and Paul Bunyan are going in there and
they're going to pull out a syringe the size of a vacuum cleaner, basically. Yeah.
Also Thanos goes to that pharmacy Darkseid from the DC universe also there. So, because we're all gigantic, but you know, my concern is that they're going to use appropriately sized syringes, and I'll get one that looks like
turkey baster size.
Yeah, like fireplace billows. That's how they're going to shove that in my shoulder.
No, it's seriously like when she did it, I'm like, that's it. Does the second one hurt more? She goes, no, it feels exactly the same. I'm like, cool.
I hope mine makes a cartoony sound like this when it goes in. I hope that here we go,
that'd
Bob.
Be cool.
All right, here we go. We're going in. Here comes your Pfizer injection. Oh!
I mean, my arm was sore the next day for maybe a day and a half sore. Yeah. And Lonnie's was more sore because he's super muscular. Even though he's thin, it's all muscle. He doesn't have fat on his body like I do. So it hurt him maybe for 2 days. But just move your arm around a lot.
Okay.
right after, so that it, once you start moving it around, it moves the vaccination, the immunization around your body faster because it's moving. It's not staying in your shoulder so long. That's one. And also rub on it, like, you know, ow. And then drink plenty, plenty, plenty of water. Hydrate like crazy so you can avoid a headache. And don't take any over-the-counter medications until after symptoms are onset. If you get a headache, fine, take it, but don't take anything to prevent pain because that can diminish the usage of the vaccination.
So, Kimberly,
and that is your medical report from me.
There you go. So Kimberly and I shouldn't do our daily Charlie horse contest where we just punch each other
probably
relentlessly
not
in our shoulders.
No, not tomorrow.
Well, not the shoulder that you're going to get the needle, maybe the other one.
Okay. I said, you have right shoulder today, Kimberly.
Just do that. Do your dominant side.
It's how we have a healthy relationship. We're just constantly punching each other in the shoulder. Take this. Ow. Ow. I don't care.
See, Lonnie and I go for tickling. Like, if I get within 6 inches of his stomach, he's like, don't do it.
I am. That's the thing about me. I am super duper ticklish. And so you can even, all you have to do is go, Bob, I'm about to tickle you. And I'll just like, yeah.
Because I had a twin brother that was a little bit bigger than me, and he would tickle me until I peed. And so, yeah, I just learned to turn it off. Like, I
that's funny. My mom almost killed my dad.
Really? What? By tickling him? Really?
No. She is super, super ticklish at the bottom of her feet.
Oh, I see.
She can't even get a pedicure. It's that bad. And so one evening when they were still living in New York, I think Carrie was born. But I'm not 100%. So if she was born, she was an infant.
Yeah.
And they were living on the high up in this apartment in New York, and it was summer, so the windows were open. And Dad grabbed her ankle and started tickling the bottom of one of her feet. And she's like dying. She's like, Joe, stop it. And she's dying. She finally pulls both legs up and pushes with all of her might her feet to the point where, because the bed faced the window, my dad caught himself in the window.
Oh, my God.
And she's like, look, all the cops would have had to do is tickle me, and then it's self-defense.
Jesus.
But yeah, he caught himself, and as he almost fell out the window, it was that, A, close to the window, and two, she was that strong.
I see. I don't tickle Kimberly. I make it a rule not to, because she could destroy me. She's deceptively strong. I mean, she's tall. She's 6 feet tall. I mean, she's still four inches shorter than me, but she is powerful. So, like, I've tried that before, or I've tried to tickle her, and she grabs a hold of my hand, and it's almost like in a Bugs Bunny cartoon where you squeeze the hand and the fingers inflate really large. Right.
I'm suddenly imagining her in the Captain Marvel outfit. You know,
like. Yeah. She'd look good in that. You should get her that.
Yeah, that's right.
She'd look great
just
in that.
Just like, and you're like bones grinding in your wrist.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. Suddenly I'm thinking about Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which Jody and I should probably
talk
about.
Oh my God, did you see last Friday's already?
I did. I watched it. I like Travis Bone's analysis of it. He said, Steve Rogers is the America we want to be, but John Walker is the America we are, which is very, very appropriate. It was.
Yeah. That last moment, I'm like, that did not just happen.
Yeah. Fucking horrible. Horrible. Yeah.
I got no idea what we're talking
about. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah.
That's, it's okay. The nerds
Tucker
are talking.
It's like actually like sowing doubt about the efficacy of the vaccines. Did you see that from like before
he
last?
He should be fired.
Yeah.
Didn't
he say maybe we're still adhering to the COVID protocols because maybe the vaccine doesn't work? That's what he said.
Oh my God. Only 22% of us are fully vaccinated in the country. Shut the F up. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't say fuck. Shut the fuck up, Tucker. I mean,
he's using it because he's trying to distract from the fact that he was like openly referencing like Stormfront and InfoWars the other night. Like, he's like, well, let me just say something even more vile. That's right.
To change the subject. It's Trumpism. That's what that is.
Yeah. Didn't Geraldo yell at Dan Bongino on Sean Hannity?
Yes, he did. You punk. What? You're a punk, Bongino. You're a punk. And Bongino goes, well, you wouldn't say that to my face. But, you know, we're talking about Geraldo. Geraldo would say it to his face.
Geraldo's taking a chair to the face, buddy. Yeah. Don't, like...
Well, and then what was funny was on Twitter, everybody's like, ooh, noted liberal Geraldo of Rivera. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? We don't claim his ass. What the fuck?
It's so funny. I have, like, almost a personal connection to both Geraldo and Tucker Carlson. I always tell this story. When I was living in Hawaii, I was invited to be on Geraldo's radio show. And oh, wow. So I got it. Yeah, I did a whole segment on Geraldo's show. And like halfway through, suddenly he brings in Tucker Carlson. So it's me, Geraldo, and Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
And Tucker's like, Tucker's complaining about Barack Obama's corporate fundraising during the 2012 election cycle. And I said, okay, Tucker, if you want to join me in campaign finance reform, please, you're welcome. You can help us. Please do. And he was crickets chirping. He did not respond to that. So he just like walked right into it. Yeah, yeah. It's like, oh, good. You're making a case, for campaign finance reform. Thank you very much, Tucker Carlson, conservative Tucker Carlson. But yeah, he said on his show, he said, does that mean the vaccine doesn't work? Like, so it's a conspiracy the vaccine doesn't work, right? That's the latest thing.
Republicans are like, it's like abortions for Republicans. They get one, they get the vaccine, they just don't talk about it. Like, and they don't want anybody else to get it.
But. Like, what is medicine anyway? what is getting a vaccine?
Thinking,
anyway?
They're talking about this whole swath of white Republican men that refuse to get the vaccine, and most of them are in their 60s and 70s. And I'm like, I'm kind of not necessarily seeing the problem here.
Yeah, yeah.
if they're going to self-select to be extinct, I mean, okay.
I mean, how do we
get vaccinated?
How do we really know there's actual medicine in the syringes? How do we know that the syringes are real? Maybe they're Hollywood syringes that don't actually go into the skin. We don't know. What is a syringe anyway? It's like, God damn you. Okay, well, here's some
good
news.
Did you see where the nearly bankrupt NRA like gave Dan Bongino like $1.5 million to stay with their failing TV network?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, and they're also active in getting that Tennessee constitutional carry law passed.
But like where this money that flies around on the other side, it's just like, why is anyone giving Dan Bongino $1.5 million for anything?
You're a punk, Bongino. You're a punk. I call you a punk. Did you hear me? You're a punk. He's like, suddenly Geraldo Rivera's from like the 1940s. Yeah, you're going to be swimming with the fishes, you punk.
You big palooka.
Okay, you like soap because you're about to be up to your elbows in grease, buddy.
Yeah, like... What?
Why I ought to pound you. And so we got it. You know what? Before we wrap up the show, we got to talk about some good news here. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 300 points to hit an all-time high. The S&P 500 gained 0.9%, also reaching an intraday high. The NASDAQ Composite advanced 1.1%. This is all based on the jobs report, which is fantastic. Retail sales surged 9.8% as additional stimulus and consumer spending soaring. The Labor Department reported 576,000 new jobs claims for the week ending in April 10th. So
what's interesting is like the restaurant industry is having a hell of a time finding people to work.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it does not surprise me at all because mm-hmm. it's fucking brutal and they don't pay you shit. And like a year ago, all these cooks and servers and hosts and all these personnel like lost their jobs.
Yeah.
With no program, they're not in a union, so there's no like and now the restaurants are like, well, why can't we get anybody to work here? And you don't pay for shit. And it's brutally hard work. Like, I tried to go back to restaurant work 2 years ago. And
I remember.
It was just, God, it's so hard.
Not fun. Yeah. In fact, there's a Domino's story that I want to talk about on the postmortem show, a pizza delivery story, which is kind of a fun one. But that was as close as I got to the food service industry working at Domino's Pizza, where I was told by my manager at the time, this is 1990 or 91, I believe, where he said, Bob, you'd make a great Domino's manager if you didn't say the word fuck so much. So that's what I'm really proud of.
I was only a bartender. So
and you know what I said back to him? I said, fuck you! Which he didn't appreciate. So, and finally, this soldier who accosted that black man on the street of that neighborhood has been charged after that video confrontation. A white army non-commissioned officer depicted in a viral video accosting and shoving a black man in a South Carolina neighborhood. Oh, South Carolina, shocker. has been charged with third-degree assault. Jonathan Pentland, 42 years old, was charged Wednesday and listed as detained in the Richland County Jail and issued a personal cognizance bond, according to online jail records, which did not show him having any or having an attorney. The video is repulsive to look at. Just a,
you and know, I'm trying to figure out, like, what does he want the kid to do? Because it looks like if he goes in any direction,
the
he's going to jump
with
on
him.
It.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he, I mean, he was a scary looking dude.
Yeah.
I was looking at him thinking, yeah, roid rage.
Yeah.
Like, because, I mean, he really is, like, built like a brick shit house. And the poor kid is, like, you know, 18 years old, teenager, mm-hmm. skinny as a whip. You're like, God, I used to be, sigh. But,
yeah.
Like, and I just, but, like, yeah, but when I, like, looked at Twitter last night and saw, like, 600 black people on that guy's lawn, it was just like, yeah.
Oh, really? They showed up and there was a
protest. Oh, they showed up. Yes, they did.
Wow. Man. But that's just the thing. I mean, how do you react in a situation like that? You're walking, you're just taking a walk, for fuck's sake, and then you're accosted. And you're exactly right, David. Which direction do you go? Which way is out? How do you extricate yourself without walking, continuing to walk through the neighborhood? You don't have, you can't go, you take out your communicator and go, Scotty, beam me up, you know, back to the black neighborhood, out of this white neighborhood. Get me out of this white neighborhood. And you suddenly vanish. That's not how
See,
it
but
works.
I've been in situations like that as a queer person, you know,
yeah.
where it's like, you know, one or more people suddenly decide that they are violently angry at you for existing.
Right.
And it's, God, you know, it's kind of amazing that my life has been less violent. But I've always been fast with the comebacks because I probably would have said to that guy, I'd be like, dude, you've got no hair.
Yeah.
Get out of my way. You know, or just whatever. Like,
yeah, yeah.
But it just...
Well, this raises the question that at some point you got to realize if you're one of these racist motherfuckers that if there's someone videotaping the confrontation, that it's not going to be good for you. So stop it. Stop doing it. There's another guy. I saw another viral video going around today in which this little boy goes up to this guy sitting on his front porch, you know, with his red Solo cup or whatever it is, and tells the guy that he's got a Confederate flag. Or it's like half United States flag, half Confederate flag hanging from his, the front of his house. And the kid goes up with his bicycle and goes, you know, that's a racist flag. And the guy's like, how do you know? You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing about history, a punk. Yeah, it's just like, oh, God. Yeah, please.
And, United States flag and a Confederate flag combined is basically like having like an Israeli flag and a swastika combined.
Yeah, I mean, it's like exactly.
The two things are diametrically, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, that's exactly fucking right. So, the fun continues on videotape. And but this guy, this particular video with the kid on the bicycle telling him he's got a racist flag, the video was posted by the guy who was sitting on the front porch. Posted the video because it was one of those surveillance cameras, and so he had the video, posted it online for some stupid reason, and so now, you know, there are people to, oh, look, here he is we're sitting in front of his house, guys, screaming at some little kid who's doing the right thing. Very, very ballsy little kid, I might add, because you never know if that guy's gonna pull out a firearm, AR-15 or something like that. Okay, Postmortem Show coming up next on our Patreon page, bobsescashow.com. We're on the second 20 right now with our contest, so we're already going to be doing one exclusive video for our Patreon page. I'm going to do that sometime in the next week or 10 days or so, and it's probably going to be a behind-the-scenes look in terms of how I manage this entire Rick Wakeman-style setup of 12 different computers.
Nah, fuck that. We want to see you in a squat cage. Doing squats!
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that, and then if we get another 20 subscribers, which we're on the way to attaining, there will be yet another video, and this will carry on through the rest of April and through May as well. So thank you to everyone who signed up. Meanwhile, make sure to go support David Ferguson's work at astralsummer.bandcamp.com and Jody
New
Hamilton's...
New music coming!
Jody Hamilton and Sean Barton's podcast, From the Bunker, at patreon.com/From the Bunker, all one
Yay.
Word, no dashes in that. Take care, folks.
God.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye.